It's been a bruising week for crypto, so is now the time for more regulation. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The rush out of cryptocurrencies is continuing today, with Bitcoin plunging more than 11%, according to the trading platform Coinbase. In just 8 days, the world's largest cryptocurrency has shed a third of its value, falling to its lowest level in nearly 2 years. The sell-off has spread to other crypto assets, and the moves have raised alarm among investors, causing many to question whether there's enough regulation and consumer protections. And it's an issue. In fact, the UK is prioritizing. London has ambitions to become the global hub for cryptocurrency business. So how can it balance intense uncertainty amid bouts of volatility like we're seeing this week as it builds a regulatory framework? For the answer, we took a quick ride on the underground train to the center of government in Westminster.
Exit for Westminster Abbey and Houses of Parliament.
And that's where we met Dr. Lisa Cameron, who is a member of Parliament and the chair of a brand new crypto and digital assets parliamentary group.
At first, I think I had misperceptions that perhaps industry would be shying away from regulation. But those industries who want to come to the UK and to do things properly, they're really saying, yes, let's do this. We want to work with government to make sure that this is a stable place for the work that we do and that there's certainty, because those are the factors that are important for business development and growth. The bad actors who are not keen on regulation, we don't want that. It's not a race to the bottom here. We want to attract reputable businesses within the sector.
The big question, though, is what does that kind of regulation look like?
It has to look like something that's going to entice people to come here, but it's about having a really balanced, proportionate stance. Many of our constituents are already engaged in cryptocurrency and digital assets, so we have to have a way of making sure we can protect people.
Couldn't be more timely that we sit down to talk about this, given the moves that we've seen in specific assets this week. It sort of highlights the intense volatility that some of these assets can experience. So how do you guys look at that kind of thing from a consumer protection angle? And do you worry that that could taint in any way what you're doing and how you're hoping to attract business like that?
That's one of the concerns that members of the Parliament have, really, is about protecting consumers and making sure that people are informed and making choices from an evidence base and as informed a base as possible, so that when people are investing, they have information that's accurate. They know exactly what they're investing in. Looking at, you know, the impact in families when people lose money, and I worked as a psychologist before coming into Parliament, I'm aware people can become quite addicted to investing, gambling, etc. So that's why we need the stable framework here, and that's why we don't want to attract bad actors here.
Dr. Lisa Cameron, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's not just a tough session today for cryptocurrencies. As we check the numbers now, it's a sea of red across global stock markets, as worries there persist about red-hot inflation and the impact of higher interest rates around the world. Stock benchmarks here in London and across Paris, Frankfurt, and Madrid are down in the 1.3 to 2.5% range. It was a similar picture across benchmarks in Asia. In Tokyo, shares of investment giant SoftBank plunged more than 8% after it reported what analysts are calling eye-watering losses in the first quarter. The BBC's Will Bain has that story.
Masayoshi Son has long been an investment darling, since his big bet on then relatively unknown Chinese online store Alibaba blew up, making it one of the most successful punts in investing history. Since then, though, his SoftBank Group, and more specifically the Vision Fund it set up in 2017 to invest in mainly tech startups, has been plagued with more misses than hits. Those swings are now starting to hurt, too. Today in Tokyo, the company said the Vision Fund lost $20 billion for the year ending March 31st. The fund's been caught in the eye of something of a perfect financial storm, with the rout on global tech stocks, Beijing's crackdown on its own tech firms, and pandemic supply chain issues in the sector all hurting the firms it invested in. And with plenty of geopolitical and inflationary concerns on the horizon, there are now questions about whether Mr. Son is the right captain to steer the fund through what look like increasingly choppy waters ahead. I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Have you ever been in another country and wished you had an app that could instantly translate menu items or even road signs? Google Translate has that feature, which my producers and I have certainly taken advantage of on recent reporting trips. And the platform has now added 24 languages spoken by more than 300 million people. Isaac Caswell is one of the engineers who worked on that new software.
Up until now, our translation models have only been able to learn from translated text, and there was not enough of that online to support these. And why these particular languages? We focused on languages with three main factors, one being a lot of speakers, two being we had good data, which allowed us to train the model properly, and three being that the populations were generally less served by technology, for instance, the African subcontinent and also the indigenous languages of the Americas.
Well, if like me, you've ever been hastily trying to make yourself understood abroad by whipping out Google Translate, you're probably aware that that trusty helper can be a little off the mark. So will it get better for these new languages?
Certainly not. These new ones definitely will make more mistakes than the current ones, too. So if you're really missing the early days of Google Translate making more mistakes, this is an opportunity to start again and get more of that.
The good news is the technology does learn over time as it gathers more data, so the hope is it will still learn along, perhaps a lot quicker than I was able to brush up on my conversational French for college finals. Finally, today, Britain's postal service, the Royal Mail, has announced a high-tech way to solve an old-fashioned problem. The company plans for a fleet of 500 drones to help deliver mail to remote communities across the UK, some of them very picturesque. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.